love this image, which I've used in a few blog posts in the past about digital identities, because I think it captures a few things. It can be interpreted in a few ways. It can be seen to show some ambivalence about digital identity. You know, I'm putting this out there. I'm not sure who's reading it. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Or you could also say that it shows a little bit of the fun that we have and the sense of play that's involved in digital identity, which I'll come back to and talk about in a few minutes. So I'm connected with a good number of you, I think, on Twitter. And if I'm not, this is my Twitter name, at Catherine Cronin, and the slides for this presentation are available on slideshare.net at CI Cronin. And my presentation is divided into three areas. So first, I'll like to just reflect, as I said, on some of the work that's been really helpful for me in really unpacking digital literacies and digital identity and developing a deeper understanding of those. And then I'd like to share how I use that in putting together a second year module, second year undergraduate module at MIT, and what the students' reactions were to that work. And then finally, hopefully we'll have some time to discuss, because I'd really like to share, whether it's in this session or after this session, with any of you who are doing similar work or are thinking about doing similar work. I'd love to keep those conversations going. I know last year at PELC, this kind of thing that's so wonderful about this conference, you know, two of the connections that I made with people here developed into work that I have been into my teaching and learning over the past year. So first, a reflection. I hope Donald Clark is not here. He was grumbling yesterday about how presenters go off and give introductory bits at the beginning, and could they not just get to the meat of the presentation? So I'm afraid I have a couple of introductory slides, so that's an apology. The first time I came here to Pelican, or it was called Pelican, it's the Machine Learning Conference, was for PELC 11, 2011, and I met the wonderful Simon Finch, who I'm very much missing at this year's Pelican. He was here last year as well. I traveled over with Sharon Flynn, met Lynn Boyle as well, who's Boyle Petey on Twitter, which some of you may know. And again, I learned then about the magic of this conference, really, that it's about people sharing their work, really learning, like Bronya's and Doug's presentations this morning, you know, getting great resources, great breadth of understanding, but it's really also very much about personal connections that then go on and on after the conference. And I think this conference just captures those two things beautifully. And in my blog post last year, I summarized that by calling it Love and Learning at Pelican, because those are the two things that I think are so important about this conference. I also met these two individuals at PELC 2011 for the first time, Tim McTeague and Steve Wheeler. And they collaborate in running the Pelican conference. They usually get along quite well, but they can be a bit snarky sometimes with one another. But from the very first moment that I met Steve on Twitter, obviously, and then afterwards, digital identity has been a subject of our conversation. So sometimes that's on Twitter, sometimes that's here in Plymouth. It happened over in Ireland. But I think Steve is a great example of someone who embraces identity play, embraces digital identity, shares that with his students to help them develop their understandings. So we're obviously, it's trite now, we're not obviously living through a time of enormous change in education. The challenge for us as educators, it's also really exciting. One of the keynote speakers at Plymouth 2011 was Stephen Heppel, and in his presentation he said that more change will happen in education in the next 10 years than in the past 100. And I felt that very much to be true, but just I was reflecting on that again in preparing for this presentation, and I thought of three things that have been really important in my work as an educator over the past couple of years that weren't even born until the summer of 2011. And those three things are Coda Dojo, MOOCs, and Google Plus, and anyone in the room who has nothing to do with any of those three things. it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I could have picked anything here, but these are just three things that wherever you were 2 years ago, whether you were here in Plymouth or anywhere else, these were not on the radar, these were not in existence yet. So Coda Dojo, how many people are here have heard of Coda Dojo? How many people are involved in Coda Dojo? So there you go. Mary Loftus and Pamela Bryan are here from Ireland, and if you have any questions about Coda Dojo, please ask them. Coda Dojo is, as many of you know, it's a community-based way for kids to learn how to code, kids between ages 6 and 16. And it's interest-based, not age-based, it's informal, it's non-hierarchical, it's not institutional. So all of those wonderful things that make it a really passionate learning experience for children who go, called ninjas, for parents who bring them, and for mentors that volunteer their time.